Moncrief on News Talk.
If you've ever wondered how much a dinosaur costs, the answer is up to $30 million. One of the world's most complete T-Rex skeletons, nicknamed Gus, is due to go for auction tomorrow in New York. Maria McNamara is Professor of Paleontology at UCC. Good afternoon, Maria.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Why is this particular model of a T-Rex such a big deal?
Well, I mean, you know, as T-Rex goes, it's a little more complete than normal. So more of the bones in the skeleton are present than we'd normally find. It's also a pretty big specimen. It's about 38 feet long. But, you know, actually, it's not the biggest one that we've ever found. And it's also not the most expensive. But I guess this specimen is really kind of bringing to light the fact that, you know, this is another example of a precious scientific specimen, you know, being sold for into private hands.
Yeah. And we will get to that. Normally, now this, as I understand, there's something like around over 60% of the bones are there. That normally, what bones are missing?
Oh, I mean, it depends on how the dinosaur died, and it depends on what environment it was living in. So, you know, typically the smaller bones will get lost first. So you're talking about the little finger bones, little bones in the toes. They're the ones that you'll typically lose first. Also, you know, teeth tend to be separated from the skeleton. So, you know, really any bones can become separated. If the dinosaur is living close to a river, if it dies in a river, the bones will tend to be scattered more than if the dinosaur fell into a lake, say, where the water is quieter and deeper.
Ah, right. Are a lot of T-Rex, or a lot of dinosaur remains found in the US?
Yes, and, you know, this particular specimen, Gus, it comes from a really famous fossil-bearing unit of rock called the Hell Creek Formation. And, you know, this particular body of rock holds lots of the dinosaurs that, you know, have been recovered in the last 100 years and that are really important for science.
Yeah. And does it tend to cluster in that sense, in that you'll find one area and it's a gold mine of various sorts of bones and you won't see? There won't be anything else for hundreds of...
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this is really what happens with the fossil record, you know, because, rocks are laid down in different environments and, you know, you'll have certain environments such as lakes are just much more conducive to preserving bones and skeletons, you know, in one piece or, you know, more complete skeletons than rocks in other places. So the Hell Creek Formation is really famous because, you know, there was a lot of flowing water, there was a lot of rivers, lagoons, and those are good places for preserving fossils.
Yeah. Now, Gus was found on private land. Is that correct?
That is correct. Found on private land on a ranch in South Dakota. And according to state law in South Dakota, whatever you find on your land is legally, you know, you own it in full. The state and the federal government have no claim on it whatsoever. So you are perfectly entitled in South Dakota to sell any fossils you have rather than handing them over to a public institution like a museum.
And the dinosaur is called Gus because that's the name of the guy who owns the land, Gary Gus.
Exactly.
Licking. There's a hell of a name. And so when this thing gets sold, then who's going to buy it?
Ah, well, I mean, you've got to have $19 million just to place the first bid. So, you know, you're going to be a pretty wealthy individual. You know, it's to be honest, you know, it's a terrible shame that dinosaurs and other fossil specimens are ending up in private hands like this. Because what usually happens, once you sell a fossil, it's lost to science forever. There have been occasions where, you know, wealthy individuals, philanthropists have donated specimens to museums, but often they're only on loan. They're not there permanently. And in order for scientists to be able to study them, you need to be able to guarantee access. But, you know, if it's just a private individual who owns it, they might allow, you know, they might allow one paleontologist to study it, but they may not allow me to study it, for instance, if they just don't like Irish people, or if they don't like my favourite soccer team. You know, so there's, in order to kind of, you know, to allow science to, you know, progress and for us to really understand more about these animals, about how did it die? Where did it live? What was it eating when it died? Why was it, you know, living in this environment? We really have to have, you know, guaranteed access. And the other thing is that, you know, most scientific journals will not allow scientists to publish, to report findings on fossils unless they are held in public institutions such as natural history museums. So, you know, as soon as it's sold, we're not even allowed to publish any research we do on it.
Why is that?
Because, you know, I might publish something, I might make some discovery, report some findings, but those need to be verified by other scientists.
Oh,
so in order
yeah.
to make sure you can go back and restudy it, and maybe somebody else might want to take samples in the future, maybe study the oxygen isotopes, work out what temperature its body was, you know, all kinds of studies that might happen in the future. You have to be able to guarantee that you can go back to the specimen and check.
Yeah. Now, There are lots of T-Rex skeletons around the place. Are they all different? Is there a need to study every single one of them?
Oh, there is, because, you know, the thing is that no specimen is complete. You know, there isn't a single T-Rex for which we have all the bones. So, you know, you're constantly trying to kind of fill in gaps using casts from other specimens. And, you know, for instance, to understand individual variation, how much did the population vary? And to understand, you know, how frequently they, you know, healed, recovered from injury. What kind of diseases did they have? What kind of, you know, bone injuries did they get? You know, we can understand so much when we study, you know, each specimen has a contribution to make to science.
Yeah. Now, what's the law in Ireland, Maria? Now, I know that if you find a chalice or something in the bog, that automatically belongs to the state. If now, and there aren't that many dinosaur bones lying around here, but if there were found, if it was in somebody's land, did they own it?
So, in Ireland, under Irish law, as you're dead right, you know, archaeological material is protected and you're obliged to hand it over to the state. There is no such protection for fossils in Ireland, which is something that really has to change, because there's already, you know, evidence at some outcrops, rock outcrops around the country where important fossils have been removed by rock saws, where you go to the site and you just see squares that have been cut out of the rock. So, you know, because there's no protection, we're already losing some of our fossil heritage, which is terrible, really, because we do have dinosaurs in our fossil heritage here in Ireland, and not just dinosaurs, but loads of other, you know, amazing creatures from our ancient past. We have fossils that people, you know, students and university groups travel, researchers travel from all over the world to come here to study our fossils. So really, we should be protecting it.
Okay, and what kind of dinosaurs did we used to have in Ireland?
So we have evidence of two dinosaurs from the island of Ireland. They're both from County Antrim. And one was a megalosaurid-like tyrannosaurid. So basically in the same family as T-Rex, but not T-Rex itself.
Okay.
So we had one of these very large predators, about 8 meters long. And we also had a Scelidosaurus, which was an armored herbivore, one of the about 5 meters long and with a really thick dermal armor of bony plates in its skin. Pretty impressive looking, actually.
Yeah. Why only an Armagh? Is that something to do with the soil or the rock there?
The County Antrim. Antrim, yeah. It's the only part of the country where we actually have rocks from the dinosaur era, where they're actually exposed at the surface in Ireland. There's actually Mesozoic rocks spanning a lot of Northern Ireland, but they're covered by basalt, the basalt that you see at the Giant's Causeway. But there's a little strip of coast there along Antrim where some sedimentary rocks, some mudstones and the like, are actually exposed along the coast. And, you know, the dinosaur bones that have been found, they were just found loose on the beach. So there's huge potential for more scientific discoveries to be made.
Yeah, but in any other part of the of our island, would it be likely or less likely?
Well, that's a really interesting question, because when the dinosaurs were stomping around here in Ireland, most of the rest of Ireland was dry land, and that's not good for preserving fossils. But in some parts of the country, there was karst, the limestone that we now see exposed in the Burren, which makes the Burren so famous. That was actually extending over much of the country. And the dinosaurs were walking around on some of this karst landscape, which was at the surface then. And there are some caves in the karst which have muddy kind of material filling in the inside of the cave. And some of this has actually been dated to the Jurassic. And some of this karst cave infill is actually here in County Cork. And that was discovered back in the 80s. And it's something that we're actually hoping to do some work on in the coming years. We've been back out to the site. We've identified where the material was originally found. And we're hoping to get back out there and, you know, recover more of this mud that was filling in these caves. Basically, you know, there's a chance that, you know, any animals that were walking around on the surface fell into these caves, and you know they rotted inside, and their remains got washed around. So we're hoping that we can try to recover some of this material now in the future.
Fascinating, the rise of the Cork dinosaurs. Maria, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Maria McNamara, there, professor of paleontology at UCC, and of course, as a lot of people were pointing out, an apposite interview to have on the day that the death of Sam Neill was announced.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.